Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. Download the app. You can take us on the go. You can use the rewind feature. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Joining us right now, as he does every Friday at this time, is our pal Scott Abraham, sports director from ABC7 and anchor. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Good morning, fellas. Happy Friday.
Scott,
happy Friday to you.
It's always good to talk to you. Hi.
How we doing?
We've been taking calls. We threw the question out to the listeners. Is this game a trap game? And I don't believe it's a trap game at all. It could be a down game for the Commanders after such a high with the win over the Bears with the Hail Mary. But I don't think it's a trap game. But the Giants usually play the Commanders pretty tough. I mean, we saw that in week two. They get after the quarterback, lead the league in sacks. Dexter Lawrence, even though he's the most double-teamed player in the NFL, it's, I think, almost 75% of plays. He's almost double-teamed every play. But your thoughts on this matchup going up to New York after that win last week?
So I was listening to you guys earlier, your segment on the Commanders, and mm-hmm. I have to agree with EB. I'm a little worried. I'm not going to lie, because these NFC East games, they're rock fights, right? I mean, rarely you're going to blow a team out by 20-plus points, 14 points, and they're coming off such an emotional high, an all-time emotional high with that Hail Mary win. And you got a Giants team that's wounded, that's battered. They haven't won a game at home. This is not going to be an easy game. I think it's going to be a very close game again, 3-point game. Play here, play there is probably going to decide this one. I think the Giants are going to try to make this ugly, you know, win ugly. And they're going to want to try to run the football, time of possession, keep Washington's offense off the field. And I think it's going to be a lot closer than many Commanders fans believe right now. And you look at the track record of Washington and how they've been doing against teams they should beat, and they've been handling their business. They've been blowing teams out that they should beat. Can this be the same situation? Certainly. But I just have a feeling that this is going to be a tough game for them.
Scott, what is the level of concern about B-Rob's health? You look back at the first matchup in week two, he trampled the Giants, 17 carries for 133, almost 8 yards per carry, but he's got a hamstring injury at this point. Talk about his status, and are we going to see a little more of Austin Eckler because of the dinged up hamstring at this point for B-Rob?
Honestly, guys, I mean, it's week nine. I think everybody's a little bit banged up and bruised, and these guys haven't had a bye week yet. And, you know, we talked to B-Rob on Wednesday. Didn't really show that he's injured or it's going to limit him. I think he's going to be fine. I think you're going to see Austin Eckler. I think you're going to see that duo that's been tremendous all season long. So I'm not too concerned about B-Rob. The guys that I'm looking at that, you know, you got to monitor Frankie Louvu. He hasn't practiced all week, so you want to see him get a limited session today. And then let's not forget about the left tackle, Cornelius Lucas, who's been alternating with Brandon Coleman. Lucas has that ankle injury. He hasn't practiced all week, so you want to see if he gets a limited session, because it'll be difficult for both of those players if they don't practice today in any type of fashion that they're going to be playing on Sunday. So I think those are the two injuries to monitor for this weekend.
So no concern about Jaden being limited?
No, not at all. I mean, they said last week this is an injury that, you know, it's not going to get worse when he plays or if he, you know, exudes energy or plays his style of football. So you got to put that trust, as I said, into GM Adam Peters, the coaching staff, the training staff, that they're doing Jaden right. He was on the microphone on Wednesday. He said he's good to go, and I expect Jaden to be out there, no problems on Sunday.
All right, now what is the answer? See, what scares me about this game is I don't think that our guys, if you heard the segment, I don't think we're going to overlook them, right? I don't think this group is like that. I don't think the staff is like that. I don't think they leave a stone unturned. But it is going to be challenging. They targeted Malik Nabers 18 times last time. He had a hell of a day. He dropped that last one, which you know is still gnawing at him. Who's going to cover, or what combination is going to work against Malik Nabers?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're going to try to probably alternate some guys in terms of Benjamin St. Juice, Noah I, and also Mike Sanders still. Whoever, you know, gets matched up on him and does a good job, they're probably going to stick on Nabers. Try to match that DB up with Nabers as much as possible. I think you're going to see kind of a rotation the first couple of quarters and see who can lock him down the best. Let's talk about Mike Sanders still, guys. I mean, what a transition he's made from a guy that's been a slot corner all of college mostly. He's gone to the outside to kind of help the depth because of the struggles of Emmanuel Forbes, and he's been tremendous. So Sanders still on the outside has been a big revelation for this team. And then Benjamin St. Juice, he's done a nice job. Yes, he had that tough penalty against Chicago that probably should have cost them the game. But I think for the most part, St. Juice has had his moments. Noah I's been really good in certain spots. So, yes, Malik Nabers, he's a problem. You know his best friend's on the other side of the field in Jaden Daniels. He's going to want to perform. He performed in week two. So, yes, with Tracy being out, and who knows, with Singletary, if he can get going on the running game, they're going to target Nabers plenty and often in this football game.
Scott, I feel like the Commanders pass rush is going to have a big day this weekend. Daniel Jones has been sacked 11 times in the last two games, 7 times by the Eagles, 4 times by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I feel like they're going to get home this Sunday against Daniel Jones.
They've been improving. The whole defensive unit as a whole, it's been awesome to see these last 4 weeks really kind of come together. I think from an average, they're giving up only about 15 points per game the last 4 weeks. And you saw what they did to Caleb Williams last week, and they made him uncomfortable. Yeah, he's an escape artist, Caleb. He was really good getting out of the rust, eluding pressure. Daniel Jones, yes, he can beat you with his legs. He's the same type of a quarterback of trying to maneuver with his legs, but they're getting pressure on the quarterback. Sometimes they're not getting home, sometimes they are, but you're going to see them dial up the pressure because it's been working. Whatever they've been doing the last 4 weeks, it's been working with Joe Wood Jr. calling the plays, and obviously Dan Quinn has his fingerprints on this defense as well. So you got guys of like a Dorrance Armstrong and you know, blitzing guys like the Luvus and the Wagners and the Fowlers. And don't forget the interior guys, because quarterbacks hate pressure up the middle. And Daron Payne, Johnny Newton, Kadarian Mathis all have been very good. So I expect Daniel Jones to be a little bit uncomfortable back there on Sunday.
Talking to Scott Abraham, news anchor and director for ABC7. So I saw you guys listening to Terry McLaurin talk about the team camaraderie and how the camaraderie has grown. I'm just curious, you're at the park almost every day. Did guys dress up yesterday for Halloween? What happened?
To my knowledge, they had a little Halloween party the day before. So I believe they had a big thing at the park on Tuesday where the kids, the sons and the daughters of the players got dressed up. Some of the players got dressed up, and they had like a little trick-or-treat in the hallway in Ashburn at the team headquarters. They do that every year. It's a really cool deal. I saw you know, some of the players dressed up, and I also believe the players themselves, they had a little Halloween party at night with their spouses and their girlfriends and the wives. So, yeah, they got into the spirit. So in terms of, like, dressing up last night, I'm not too sure, but I know the last couple of days they had some festivities.
Speaking of the spirit, I saw your new photo by Ben Rice. What are you thinking there in your photo? You got kind of the bubble in the background.
Yeah.
And Scott's kind of like looking into the into the horizon. I don't know. Like, what did the photographer tell you to do? It's not a smile. You're just kind of like looking off.
He just told me to look to the side, and I guess I had some aura going on behind me with the background, and he snapped the photo. I was like, all right. And I think I captured a new album cover. It looked like an album cover to me, guys.
You're looking good there, Scott.
What time did they practice today?
I practiced at 11:10.
Friday's always 11.
And then Quinn will talk after practice, and we'll figure out a little bit more about these injuries. And this is a big 4-game stretch. I know you take a 1 game at a time, but you look at the schedule. This is some big boy football. Giants, Steelers, then you have the Eagles, and then you have the Dallas Cowboys. So another big 4-game stretch for the fellas.
Yeah, 3 divisional games in the next month.
Yeah, this is you want to make some hay, and I talk about it all the time with our viewers, and probably you guys do probably with your listeners. You take care of business in the division, you win the division, you're guaranteed a home playoff game. So that's obviously the mission right now. They're 6-2, but the most important part of the thing is division games. They basically count double. So get another win on Sunday against the Giants. You're 2-0 in the division, and of course you got the big boys in the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys looming.
So I know you're a little concerned, just like Bickle is. You're a little concerned about it, but what's your prediction?
So I've been pretty good here with these predictions, guys. I said 3 points against the Bears, and I nailed that one. And certain that was a little luck. But I'm going to go, I think the spread is 3.5, 4 right now. I'm going to go another 3-point win, guys. I'm going to go, let's go Commanders 20. And we'll go Giants 17.
Oh, wow. Lower scoring.
That's a nail biter.
Yeah, that's similar to the last game.
It's a rock fight. I think Giants are going to try to make it ugly. And I think it's going to be kind of a nasty NFC East in between the trenches game.
Just to give you a chance to talk about Pete Medhurst, because I saw you tweeted about it. We talked about it early.
Yeah.
He's been diagnosed with brain cancer, and Pete was part of the show for many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know, radio, TV, newspaper, we're all one family in a sense. Right. And, Pete is what I've always respected about Pete is he works so hard. I mean, he's everywhere. And, I've always respected his Swiss Army knife versatility. And that news crushed me. He's always been very kind to me coming onto my show. And I just hope he knows that, you know, everybody at 7 News in the sports department, we're thinking about him. And you know, he's tough as nails. So I have all the confidence that he's going to fight this and battle through. And I know you guys are with him as well. So I just want to send my well wishes to Pete and his family.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm sure that's appreciated by all of them. Definitely.
Very much. Thank you, pal. Yep. Appreciate it, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, buddy.
Take care. Bye, guys.
Yep.
Scott Abraham, 20-17.
I think it's going
to
be
last game was 21-18, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I think it's going to be higher scoring than that.
I think so, too.
But I do think it could be close.
See,
but I like my guys.
I think there's going to be a bigger spread this time. I think it's going to be a bigger spread. I think we should go on record. Go on record here?
I think Daniel Jones is ripe for like a strip sack fumble or like a pick six. I just feel that energy heading into the weekend.
I like 24-17.
Could be
a late score. Washington. Right. It could be a late score to make the man. Maybe it's tied going into the fourth quarter. But
so you're like him, though. A little lower scoring-ish.
24. Yeah.
I'm gonna go 27-24, my boys.
Wow.
I just think that...
I think the Giants can get 24 on them.
Well, we just gave up 200 yards on the ground.
That is true.
I mean, Leak Neighbors owns us.
I will go 28-20 Commanders.
All right.
That's a... covers the number.
Also, they're very good in the red zone, right? They're 5th in the league in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. So
I'm talking about the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I brought this up earlier.
Defensively.
If you look at the scoring average for Washington on the year, it's 29.5. But over the last 6 games, it's 32.5. Meanwhile, the Giants score 14 points a game. I like it a little bit bigger than you guys. I'm going to go 28-14 Washington, 2 touchdowns.
Daniel Jones, by the way, has gone 3 straight games without throwing a touchdown. Hopefully he goes 4 straight, but he's gone 3 straight, hasn't thrown a touchdown pass. That's not good for their offense. That's pretty bad.
Right. Well, they've scored 28 total
when
in
that
3
happens.
Weeks.
We'll get all our picks up at Junks Radio and also on our Instagram. Follow us there at Sports Junkies Radio. Coming up next, Gravis Vasquez is going to join us in studio. He used to star here at University of Maryland, played in the NBA for years. Now he's working for Monumental Sports. We're the Junkies, coming right back.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, appreciate you listening to us on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're streaming live all across the country on the free Odyssey app. Happy to be joined in studio by a guy that we rooted for tremendously when he was at Maryland. Of course, played high school basketball for Stu Vetter, played in the NBA. Now he's talking about his baseball prowess in the break. It's Gravis Vasquez.
Yeah, hey, buddy. Gravis. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you, guys.
I mean, this guy's Terps royalty.
You are Terps royalty. Yeah. You're one of those guys. And I'd probably put Juan Dixon this way, too. Juan played a long time. Juan played 7, 8, 9 years, whatever, in the league. You played 7 years in the league. But I feel like you're more defined by Maryland. Like, don't take that the wrong way. Like, you're a Maryland legend more than you are, in my mind, an NBA legend. And you had a great NBA career.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I can never thank the school enough and people around Maryland and the way they supported me. Imagine a kid coming from Caracas all the way here to the DMV, and all of a sudden you're playing in high school with, you know, Kevin Durant. So I graduated from high school with Kevin Durant, and all of a sudden I go to Maryland. Didn't take any other visits. One day I was doing my homework in the living room, and I'm watching Coach Williams just yelling at his assistant coaches, and I go like, I want to play for that dude, man.
Really? That didn't intimidate you?
Not at all, because, you know, coming from Caracas, my coaches, when I was a young kid, they were tough. They're really tough. They used to yell at me and cuss at me. And I was used to it. So I
didn't bother you.
I never took it personal. And Gary, honestly, Coach Williams and even Stu Vetter, you mentioned Stu Vetter. Wow. Yeah. Stu Vetter is
a legend.
Like a stepfather to me, and everything he did, just bringing me to the country and to the United States, helping me going to high school.
How did that work? Yep. If we can stop there. So you're playing in Venezuela. You're playing for like the national team, maybe U15 team, whatever you are. How do you get here?
Well, I went to a program that is called NBA Without Borders.
Okay.
So like the best athletes from like South American region go like from the age 13 to 15. So we like Puerto Ricans, Venezuelans, Colombia, Brazilians, Argentinians, and the NBA organized that through FIBA as well. So it's like a showcase. So I went there, and U15, I was really good at that age, probably the best player in my country.
How tall are you then?
Like around 6'2", 6'3".
Good size.
And point guard.
Right.
And then I went there, and I did pretty good. And remember this guy, his name is Arturo Ortega. Probably one of the best agents in Europe. Just hired, like, his clients were like Manu Ginobili, the Gasol brothers. So he was offering me, hey, you want to go to Europe and play professionally, or you want to go to the United States and go to high school and college? I was like, definitely want to go to school in the United States. So my dream, my dream was, you know, because it was a Venezuelan player. I used to play for UNC Charlotte. His name is Diego Guevara, number 21. That's the reason I use 21. So I'm huge with like empowering my culture. So Diego was still an idol and a guy that I
wanted to do what he did.
I look up to, and he was playing on ESPN. He was the only student athlete married at that time. So every time he hit a three, he was kissing his wife, sending kisses to his wife.
Right.
So I wanted to go to college here, and I wanted to go to high school. So then Tommy Loy, I think he's a head coach for the University of Arizona right now. He was one of the assistant coaches for the University of Gonzaga.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he was the one trying to help me to come here. Well, he helped me. But he located me in Washington, D.C., not in Washington State.
You got the wrong Washington, so
like,
man.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm doing my homework one day, and I'm like, I want to go to Maryland. And he was like, that's messed up, man. I wasn't helping you. I'm like, yo, I don't know anyone in Washington over there.
Right. But how did you end up at Montrose?
Well, then Arturo was talking to Tommy. And Tommy was like, I can help him to come to high school here in the States. And then Tommy spoke to David Atkins, which is a huge guy that made a tremendous impact in my career as well.
Yeah,
he was one of the Stu Vedder's assistant coaches.
I know Dave. I know him very well.
Yeah. And then he went to Maryland
in the NBA too.
And then in the NBA,
he was wandering the halls of DeMatha for a while.
Yes, he was. Yeah, yeah. So he was. You know what? He was the guy. I mean, his work ethic and his player development abilities was unbelievable, and he got me better. He got me better as a player, and he got me better as a human being as well. So it was a blessing, man. I can't complain. Then I got here. I went to Montrose. Imagine a kid from Caracas. Montrose at that time was sponsored by Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine
you got all your stuff. Jordan.
And when I was back home, I couldn't afford any Jordans or anything like that.
Yeah, I want you to tell me more about that because I don't know anything about Venezuela. I'm dumb. I live only in this area. Mm-hmm. Imagine a guy from Caracas. Give me the vibe. What is it like?
Well, you know, I love my country a lot. I love my people and my culture, but you cannot put aside like the fact that we are a third world country. So
what does that mean specifically?
There's the haves and the haves nots.
No, I understand. So what is it like?
The access, economy.
Did you guys have TV? Like, I don't even know.
No, well, yeah, TV. We got everything that we got here. But the thing is, like, some people struggle in to be able to have access to, you know, things that we have access here, healthcare.
Education,
so many different things. So like, you have to work harder. You have to be actually really, really focused. Because if you're not, then you're gonna struggle. So imagine going through, you know, different limitations back home, where my mom and dad wasn't making enough money for me to buy me a ticket to come to the United States, or just to pay for the process to get a visa, or going to a private school back home. Or buying a pair of shoes, like Jordan shoes, like that was hard back in the day. Right. Still hard nowadays. So that made a tremendous character in myself. So I wanted to make it. I wanted to be different, and it was not gonna be any excuses. So that's why I take a lot of pride in terms of, like, I love where I came from, and I love my country, and I'm always gonna be repping my country and my people, because I know how hard it is, but I was able to make it. I mean, imagine, like, not only going to high school, then going to college and walking around campus and people talking about, like, wow, well, who is this guy? Uh-huh. Is he the best player? Is he the legend we thought he was gonna be?
Mm-hmm.
And then playing against UNC when they were the number one team in the country, and playing against Duke, my senior night, and all that stuff, and that didn't stop there.
Then you get drafted.
Then the dream, the biggest dream, you know, came through, which is, you know, playing in the NBA. So it's sending a powerful message to my country, to the youth, because nowadays that's what I do. I love to incubate and help and help my culture, especially the youth, to, you know, present a platform that they can actually go through like I did. You know what I mean? Yep. And that's the reason I'm here, you know, because obviously you will always want to go back to your community and help and lead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why I'm always going to be thankful with Coach Vedder, Coach Atkins, Gary, my school, the best 4 years of my life, University of Maryland.
I was going to say, that has to be true, right?
What was your spot at Maryland? Okay, we went to Maryland a long time ago. The spots are different. What was your spot when you were hanging out?
Well, I used to go to Cornerstone Bentley a lot.
Cornerstone Bentley.
Yeah. I mean, that little street. I'm not going to lie.
13 total when I was there. So it was unbelievable, man. I just can't. I will never forget my time there. That was the best time of my life.
Did you ever buy a drink at the University of Maryland with your own money?
It was funny because I used to tell my dad.
Yeah.
I used to tell my dad, like, Dad, I think they love me here more than they love me in Caracas. So he was like, shut up. Like, that's not true. And and he started coming to our games.
Yeah.
So then after games, you go, you know, out and eat dinner and all that. So, like, every restaurant, every bar, everything was packed.
Right.
So the way they treated me, and even now, was unbelievable. So my dad was like, "Oh, are we paying for this?"
Yeah.
I guess not, because you don't have any money.
Your money's still going to college bar.
Why do you think? Obviously, you're a great player, but why do you think you and Gary hit it off so much? Like, why? He really loved you. I'm sure he still does to this day, but
yeah, we still talk. Yeah. I still talk to all my coaches, and I try to continue to build that relationship and stay in touch. But I think it was something that it was meant to be. We never talk basketball. Like I'm the type of player that I can come over here and talk to you guys about anything but basketball.
Can I give you my theory?
Or baseball.
I think you guys both are passionate. You played with passion. He coaches with passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, similar personalities.
That was our similarities. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing was the fact that he was able to talk to me about, like, how's your family? How things in Venezuela? How can I help you? And honestly, you always play for your coach. You don't play for any name in front of your jersey. That's like, whatever player tells you that, mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, I love Maryland. Mm-hmm. I love the Washington Wizards or mm-hmm. whatever team you played on, the Commanders. And mm-hmm. but you love your coach. You know what I mean? You go to battle with your coach. Like, to me, I was playing for Gary.
And here's a great quote from Gary about Grievous. He says, "I remember having to defend Grievous his freshman year. He would do that shimmy after he'd make a three. I'd get all kinds of hate mail saying, quote, you can't control your players. My only response was, did the ball go in? The one thing I learned about coaching, don't take away what makes a guy good."
He had personality on the court.
That was a key point. Like, he was letting me be myself. Mm-hmm. And people that were, everyone was thinking at that time, like, even now, like, oh, he's this guy just turns around and just yelling at his assistant coaches. He's the most mellow guy.
Off the court, he was a different guy.
Like, only one time, I remember my triple-double against UNC in Concord Center. I was playing okay, but I was like, I was down in terms of like, what's going on with my teammates? We playing against the number one team in the country,
right?
At home, so my body language was messed up. So he called a timeout and he just went at me, but he cussed me out. He was like, "You don't think we're gonna win this game, right? Uh-huh. You want me to sit you up there?" And I'm like, he was going at me, and to me, he was holding me accountable, and he was teaching me at that very moment how to be a leader and be positive and do the right thing on the court and off the court. So then after that timeout, I mean, I went crazy. I'm like, nah, he's not gonna go at me like that. I'm responding. He did it in so many ways, but smart. Like, one time he was telling the assistant coaches, like, "Well, Gravis is shooting too much. I want him to get more assists." Mm-hmm. I got to the NBA because my vision, because my passing ability,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to make good reads and, mm-hmm. and understand the game, like run pick and roll. Mm-hmm. I was able to come off the bench, or I was able to start on any team in the league. But it was about having a role. Like, mm-hmm. it's 462 players in the NBA. How many superstars?
Mm-hmm.
Like 20?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is a role player, right. Making millions of dollars. Yeah. So stop it. If you're a young kid, you're not at school right now and you're listening to this, just like, find your role. So like Gary taught me that. Right. What is your role? So he was telling the assistant coach, like, he got to pass more. He got to get his teammates involved. So next game is against NC State at home. And I took it personal. And that was my relationship with him. Like, hey, I'm a man. You can't be telling me. But in a positive way. And then I didn't take a shot in the first half. I have like 10 assists the first half.
Are you doing that to be a jerk?
Just to prove him wrong. Like, hey, I can run this team. Mm-hmm. I can run any team in this country and this world. And I can make anyone around me better.
Yeah.
So I was directly to him. Like, I have wide open shots, and I didn't take the shots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'm
he did a Kobe bit.
Real quick before we go to break.
I
know we got to go to break in a second. And we're going to talk about the Wizards, I know. But how different college sports is now. If you were playing 15 years later, 20 years later, let's just say you were playing now, chances of you being at Maryland for 4 years are probably zero because you might have started at Maryland, but money might have been better at Kansas. And Kansas would say, oh, we're going to give you the or Oklahoma or you know Texas. So that's how different it was back then that you stuck it out for 4 years. But now it's rare that guys stick it out for 4 years.
Totally.
I mean, good players like you.
Totally. I mean, now that I watch college basketball, I've been doing the Final Four the last 6 years, and I watch these young athletes and the way the NCAA is structured. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine me playing at this during this time, but you're talking about NIL. You're mm-hmm. talking about all these things that, you know, I never have access. I was just a happy kid to have a scholarship and going to class and playing on national television
right.
against Duke and UNC. And that's what I needed. That's what I needed. I try not to think about, like, how much money I would have made if we wouldn't have NIL. And obviously, now I understand the business of sport. Being in the NBA and being around baseball professional teams back home, and then you'd be like, oh, this is how it works. So I understand it. Like, the NBA does a tremendous job in terms of, like, G League, and the G League actually forced the NCAA. I mean, the NBA forced the NCAA to, like, you got to start paying players now or find a way to compensate these mm-hmm. players, because then you don't want to have to go, you don't have to go to college, man. You have to go. You can be professional right away and make $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 a year. So playing against pros. So, but at that time, I needed college. I needed, you know, what we talked about. Like,
mm-hmm. worked for you.
It worked for me. So, like, I needed my 4 years, and it worked. I mean, I ended up playing in the NBA, and I'm not in the NBA as an active player right now because I have 6 surgeries on my right ankle.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, talking about Venezuela, I never had any mentors or anyone that was actually guided me to, like, hey, you got to take care of your body. So I sprained my ankle, went to my grandma's house, and like, hey, do some Venezuelan thing. so I can start
Spanish.
Next day I was playing.
Yeah.
So then I have 6 surgeries now, and my last contract wouldn't be 4 years, $60 million. So imagine not having a great base or a foundation where, like, you understand the business of sports. It's more than just putting the ball in the mm-hmm. basket. You know, it's more than hitting a home run or scoring a touchdown. It's just being human and understanding, like, oh, I'm talented. I can do this. So how can I take advantage of my talent in a smart way? So I'm happy to be here, man.
And you're part of the business of sports. We're going to talk to you about it when we come back from break. You're doing stuff with Monumental Sports, Altcast, Spanish Broadcast. So we'll get into that and the Wizards next with Gravis Vasquez here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Hanging out with Gravis Vasquez, who, of course, is a legend at the University of Maryland. EB and I both went to Maryland. Now, we graduated way before you arrived.
Yeah.
But having a great time just chatting with them. There's, like, so much we can get into. We only have so much time left. Let's not to get it out of the way, but let's talk about Monumental Sports. I watched you the other night in the All Cast with Tony Massenberg and with Wes Hall, doing a great job. The Wizards have surprised us here early on. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing the Spanish broadcast in the Miami Heat game. The
Wizards playing in Mexico City.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of talk.
Right. Yep.
We had a lot of talk last year about Bilal Coulibaly, who was their top draft pick last year. And I said, admittedly, I was like, man, I wish I had seen more flashes. Like, I just didn't see much last year. But he's clearly worked on his game in the offseason. What do you see from Bilal?
And also, I discovered him, just in case you're wondering. I'm claiming Bilal.
NBA scout right here.
I'm waving the French flag over here for Bilal Coulibaly.
Hey, man, I'm very thankful that Monumental Sport Network is giving me an opportunity. We're talking about Maryland and my years at the University of Maryland and being back in D.C. with this great opportunity to just talk hoops and be back with my fans, with my people. I'm thankful. Like, Monumental Sport Network, I'm committed. I love the opportunity. And it's fun working with Tony, Wes, Frank, the guy that actually made this happen, and the whole staff from Monumental is unbelievable. So talking about the Wizards and Koulibaly. I mean, I think honestly, last year when I saw him, I was like, it's a rookie. Yeah. And sometimes you question the front office, like, what are they doing? But I get it. It's you also have to be on their just wear their shoes and see where they at. So we had a meeting before the season started, and they were talking about the team and all that stuff. So one of the things about Koulibaly is just the fact that he played in the Olympics.
And so you think that helps?
As an international player, when I represented my country playing on the qualifiers to the Olympic, qualifiers to the World Cup, then you're playing against men. You're playing against professional guys that are already established, whether in the NBA or around the world, FIBA basketball. So I thought that was great for him. And you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Kawhi Leonard. This kid can play defense.
That's a good comp.
And this kid can play offense. And he's showing it to me this early. And playing against Trajan and playing the defense he played, he's telling us, like, hey, can this kid do it in a consistent way, both ends of the court? Well, we got to, it's there to see, but he's doing it right now. Mm-hmm. He's playing calm. Mm-hmm. He's not rushing. He's reading the pick and roll the right way. Mm-hmm. He's making the right decisions. He's rebounding the ball well. Mm-hmm. Yep. So this kid, his athleticism, and I truly believe, as young as he is, he doesn't understand who he is yet.
Right.
So just sometimes you have to watch more film. You have to study the game a little bit more. And that's, to me, for him to be a star, he got to do those little things. If he's able to do those little things, he's possibly a star in this league because his athleticism and the way he's showing us right now, this early, the way he's playing. That's what I see. I mean, I watched it last game. I was really excited because, you know, I was a rookie. I was a sophomore in this league. And watching him, like, playing defense on Trey, watching his body language. I'm huge with, like, the way the players walk, the preparation and all that. Like, as a GM, as a head coach, how much can you control a player? Like, you tell him to come to shoot around, you tell him to come to practice, mm-hmm. do your rehab and all that stuff. But, like, what is he doing off the court?
He's obviously doing more. And, by the way, when you were a rookie in the league, how old were you?
I was, like, 23 years old.
Right, I actually looked it up. Said you were 24, yeah. 23, 24.
Yeah. Bilal's 20,
and these comers
it's still young.
You'd be like the oldest guy on the team, about except for Valanciunas and a couple.
So and Valanciunas was one of my former teammates in Toronto. So we're monumental. I get this, I get this chance to watch high level basketball, and obviously my dream was to get drafted by the Wizards, and now the Monumental Sport Network is like. Able to have five Wizard games, five Capital games in the Spanish language broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
This upcoming season is huge, you know, because if you're talking about the Hispanic population in the Washington metropolitan area,
like DMV.
You're talking about at least around 800,000 people mm-hmm. that identify as a Hispanic. So, I mean, building that community and engaging that community to watch, you know, our teams, our pro teams in the city, Wizards the Capital, is huge. Just to join the entertainment of going to a Wizards game or mm-hmm. watching it on, you know, on TV at your home and at their home is huge. So I truly believe, I'm excited about that part because I think the Hispanic community is huge. And I want to talk to them. I want to be in contact with them. And Monumental Sport is doing a great job trying to reach and embrace, you know, the Hispanic community and give them, an entertainment that is high level. Yeah.
All right, we only got a couple minutes left, so let's talk about All I Ever Wanted, which is a documentary. Are you just finishing it right now? Fill us in on what's going on.
No, it's done. The documentary is done, and I'm gonna send you guys the trailer, and then eventually I'm gonna send you guys the movie.
Nice.
It's very nice. I'm excited about that too. I struggle ever since I came from Venezuela, went to high school, couldn't speak any English, then all of a sudden, like, you know, played with Kevin Durant and ended up going to college, best 4 years of my life, then got to the NBA and went through a lot of different situations in my life. Then I'm done playing in the NBA, not because my talent, but because an injury. 6 surgeries on my right ankle and one on my left. So then all of a sudden, my last year in the NBA with the Brooklyn Nets, I'm like, oh, I can't do it anymore. I only play 2 games. And my last game, I hit a huge shot against the Indiana Pacers. I still remember. So then, you know, I was frustrated. I thought,
were you depressed?
I was super depressed. My mental health wasn't, you know, healthy enough. So imagine loving the game of basketball, the passion that I have for basketball. Even now, I do the games in Monumental Sport Network, and I'm like, wow, this is big time. I love it. I'm talking to
you. You're clearly pumped about
and
it.
And all of a sudden, like, God took me away from the game in terms of, like, playing. And I thought basketball was my life.
Mm-hmm.
What I understood about the whole situation was, like, basketball was part, or it is a part of my life, because mm-hmm. I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a cousin, I'm an uncle. So, like, it's important to understand, like, I'm more than a basketball player. Athletes mm-hmm. are more than athletes. They're mm-hmm. human beings. And I suffer. I suffer so much. I mean, just what I'm trying to show in this film is just the fact that not only empowering my culture, but it's a general message to the world. It's going to be Kevin Durant on the field, mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry,
Manu
Ginobili, Carlos Delfino, another Argentina mm-hmm. was playing in the NBA.
Delfino.
It's the NBA players that Carl Herrera from Venezuela, Oscar Torres. So
we got to wrap up here. It's called All I Ever Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely send it to
just
us.
Know
we'll
this.
Promote
stay in
it.
Touch with
you,
us.
You may not be a player anymore, but you will always be a legend here.
Thank you.
Big screening in Xfinity Center.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, big screening.
Ooh, that's great.
Then after party idea. At Bentley's.
I'm out.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Bishbucks, KXCB, I'm JP. Have a great weekend. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next. Right here on The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.